Wildfires in California have once again left behind a path of destruction this fall. The recent Maria Fire, burning through Southern California, has damaged almost 10,000 acres of land. And the Kincaid Fire, a little over a week old, is now more than 75% contained, but it has burnt nearly 78,000 acres. According to CAL FIRE, more than 400 structures have either been damaged or destroyed by the fire. And as the fires continue, more people are losing their homes, and those losses are partly a result of a pre-existing housing crisis in the state. The high cost of living in urban centers has pushed many people to rural areas on the outskirts of town, where there's an even higher risk of fire damage. For more, I'm joined by Annie Lowery, staff writer for The Atlantic. Annie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Tanzina.
So this lack of affordable housing, what's the state of that in California right now? I mean, who's lacking and who's struggling to find housing?
It's a legitimate crisis. The state is short millions of housing units. And so you see the problem both in terms of really, really high rents and unaffordable prices for homes in major urban centers. So San Francisco, for instance, or Los Angeles. But it has the effect of spreading out throughout the entire state, where even in communities that are sort of far from those metro centers that are tossing off a lot of jobs, rents and homes have become really unaffordable. And so a lack of building, particularly in dense urban centers, is the root issue there. But then it has it affects virtually everybody in every community of the state fundamentally because the shortage is so bad.
So folks are being pushed out of the city centers. They're being pushed where? Where are they ending up, and how does that connect to because apparently where they're ending up means that they're more at risk for wildfire damage.
Absolutely. So roughly half of California's home building in recent decades has happened in what's called the wildland urban or woodland urban interface. And so these tend to be more marginal communities, sort of at the edges of metro areas. And so we can think of them as being sort of stereotypically sprawl, right? These ex-urban communities that sort of show up. And the reason that so many folks have moved to them is in part because differentially they're somewhat cheaper and it's much easier to build. There are fewer building restrictions in those communities than in dense places where there's already a lot of housing and habitation, because many communities in California have extremely strict zoning laws and other rules that make it difficult to build infill. And so more and more people have lived in those communities. And the issue is that in many cases, those places are more susceptible to damage from wildfire because they're in places where the ecology supports wildfire, where it's a natural part of living there, and also because when humans move there, they introduce more fires. CAL FIRE believes that more than 90% of fires that start have a human cause. It's because of a power line or a lit cigarette or a house fire. People are lighting more fires in those places as well.
This is an economic issue at the end of the day. I mean, we're talking about affordable housing. We're talking about people who need affordable housing, so low to moderate income Californians. How are these folks, if they're more susceptible to wildfires, Annie, and therefore, you know, losing their homes or potentially having damage to their home, and they're already low to moderate income, how do they deal with the impact?
You know, this is a slow-moving crisis because you see, especially in not this year, but in the past 2 years where you had huge numbers of people displaced and their homes destroyed by wildfires. So in the Tubbs Fire, which happened sort of north of San Francisco, or in the Camp Fire, which destroyed the entire town of Paradise, you then have tens of thousands of people who have no place to go. And so they contribute to the state's housing crisis because all of a sudden you've just taken thousands of units off the market. And I think that the issue also for people who live in these places who own their homes is there's the real risk of those homes declining in value, of those homes becoming uninsurable in time, or of other issues that could make it such that people felt stuck in this interface where it was too expensive to move elsewhere. But also they were facing kind of these local housing crises caused by vulnerability to these wildfires. And I think that this is something that we are just going to see intensify in the coming years and decades. So there's the issue both of too many people perhaps living in this interface, and then also the economic plight of folks whose homes might be threatened by fire or even at some point destroyed by fire.
Let's hone in on that a little bit, because you mentioned insurance. I know that's something we've got callers, listeners who have called us with their stories of how insurance is sort of is on the rise. But there's also, so I'd love to, if you could talk a little bit about that, and also just how this economic divide is really, this gap is beginning to get bigger and bigger. I mean, there are communities in California that can afford their own private firefighting forces, if you will, and not everybody can do that. So if you can't afford insurance, if you can't afford to build back, if you can't afford to live in the city center, I mean, is this ultimately going to force people out of California, you think?
Ultimately, I think it is going to make some pre-existing crises, especially the cost of living crisis, worse. And so we know that natural disasters have a way of magnifying inequality. So wealthier communities tend to get through disasters better than lower income communities. Lower income families tend to do worse off in disasters than higher income families. And one of the main ways that that happens is through insurance. So if you're a high-income person who owns your home, you're likely to be made at least somewhat whole by private insurance, and your town is likely to be better at petitioning the state and federal government for help if any kind of natural disaster, whether it's a flood or a hurricane or a wildfire comes through. But if you're a renter, or your house is heavily mortgaged and you didn't have insurance to cover the full cost of it, you're much more likely to be really, really hurt badly when these events come through. And I think that given that we have a changing climate, this is only going to become more intense. And it's not just an issue with the wildfires in California. It's everywhere in flood zones. It's a lot of the eastern seaboard that's going to be more prone to hurricanes. And so we're seeing this at the same time that we have a housing and cost of living crisis, we're going to see this really, really intensify and magnify in many communities.
Annie Lowery, staff writer for The Atlantic, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.